This is a Kirkendall Barrett presentation, darling.
Feed me, meow, meow, meow.
Because of this podcast, I'm a gay icon.
I'm so hot. I'm so good looking. My salad dressing is amazing.
Like the internet at large, there are things you can do on the internet besides porn, but most of it's porn.
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It is time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bauer.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
And I have to admit to our audience that I fucked up, because we were all set to watch a movie. I found the movie. I sent Kurt and Jason screenshots of the movie that we were watching. I was all set to record it. I thought I had recorded it. And then when I went to watch it, it was not recorded, which normally is not a problem because I have Sling TV. And so, especially with Hallmark movies, if I forget to record, which sometimes happens, Sling has, you can watch it on demand. So I looked on demand, it was not available on demand, which is weird.
Well, you know who else didn't see the movie, Les?
Who?
The main character in this movie.
You didn't see it.
No.
In fact, and we know the episode, the title of this episode of our podcast, which is going to be Guiding Les. We're going to guide you through the movie just like a dog.
Yes, because so Jason and Kurt have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so instead of waiting a few more days, because the movie's not going to be on again until Monday. And then also what I found was weird is Peacock, remember all that whole big thing about Peacock saying, we're going to show Hallmark movies?
Yeah.
Wasn't on Peacock either.
No, I've told you this in the past, that they don't stay on Peacock very long. They're there for like a couple of days after it airs, and then they're gone.
So, you know, that's weird because Peacock really talks it up. Like, we have Hallmark movies. You can see the new ones.
Well, they do.
Really talk it up.
They do, but
they have them, but very briefly.
Yeah. They're paying for those. So, you know, they're only going to have them so long.
Yeah. So we're going to be just like the movie, since the movie is about a blind person. It's about a guide dog. Jason.
It's more about the blind person. We'll get into that.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the dogs talk, the blind right? Person.
What's that?
Sort of.
The dogs talk, right?
You gotta look who's talking.
It's the dog is the narrator of the movie.
Okay.
So
yeah, I don't like that.
So that we're starting off with that. We'll get into it when we get to the movie. But the dog is the narrator of the movie, and also the voice of the dog is the biggest name in the cast.
So there was some bamboozling going on.
I think so, maybe.
Okay. Well, before we get into this, there's someone who doesn't bamboozle us. Kurt, do you have any Black China news?
Doing a piece of China.
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 I'm talking China.
The Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
I have two articles here now. Do you want to hear about The Source talks about Black China seeks legal action against Tyga over child support dispute. Or I could read a short summary of a financial article I found about Black China. Just
about Black China?
I think the financial one, because I feel like we've talked about the custody thing already.
Yes. Yes. Okay, and I thought a few weeks ago they were getting along.
Okay, well, there's some legal action going on, but this is from a website called BStocks. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Best Stocks. I didn't see the ST. It's Best and then Stocks. They use the same ST. Or no, they don't. I don't know. Anyway, this is called Unraveling the Enigma, Analyzing Black China's Evolving Net Worth Through the Years. This is an article by Elaine Mendonca. Okay. All right. So let's get started. The enigma surrounding Blac Chyna's net worth continues to baffle fans and media sources alike. As of February 2024, the disparity in reported figures from various outlets only adds to the confusion surrounding the true extent of her financial status. According to Celebrity Net Worth, Blac Chyna's net worth is said to be a modest $1.5 million. However, Forbes paints a drastically different picture, suggesting her wealth skyrocketed to an impressive $80 million in 2023, with an annual income of $15 million. Meanwhile, IMDb and OK Magazine offer their own conflicting estimates, citing her net worth as $5 million and $1.5 million, respectively. The discrepancies in these figures raise the question of how such varying assessments could arise. Are certain sources overlooking key assets or business profits that contribute to Blac Chyna's overall wealth? Or perhaps there are undisclosed income streams that play a significant role in her financial standing? Whatever the case may be, one thing is certain. The ambiguity surrounding Blac Chyna's net worth serves as a reminder of the complexity of celebrity finances and the challenges that come with accurately assessing their true monetary value. Until a definitive answer emerges, we can only speculate on the true extent of her riches and continue to marvel at the mystique that surrounds this enigmatic figure.
There is no way whatsoever this article was not written by AI. No, I'm not joking. That is 1000% written by AI. I will take that to my grave.
It goes on. I'm not going to read the rest of this because that's, but you get the gist of it. And if it goes on and on and on and on.
Ever used ChatGPT to try it out, that is the kind of things it spits out when you give it specifics of like, I want to write about Blac Chyna. I want to write about how her finances are really cloudy. Cite at least three sources. Like, you give it parameters and it writes with really flowery language. I guarantee you that was written by AI.
One key factor in her financial success is the diversification of her income sources, ensuring a steady cash flow even in volatile industries. Moreover, her business ventures like her beauty product line have further boosted her net worth significantly. Okay. Go ahead, Les. You're going to say something?
I was going to say... I can't believe that like $1 million is considered modest.
Modest. I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have a house. I don't know. Have a house.
Her net worth alone is going to be more than $1 million because she does own property in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you Us Weekly and the other one that AI cited, okay, where it was like $5 to $8 million. I bet you she's more in that range.
Because she owns property in Calabasas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's probably not cheap. Calabasas is not cheap at all.
Yeah, it talks about, does say some of her OnlyFans. She's releasing singles. It just goes on and on. It's really long.
Yeah.
Sorry.
AI will write as many words as you want it to.
This woman was taking credit for this.
Well, it might be someone that works there or that might be a fake name, too.
And like I've always said, Angela, if you would like to come on and set the record straight, we are happy to have you here.
Absolutely.
We'll be nice to you.
Is she going to tell us how much she's worth?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ask her the right way.
You really got to sit down and do the math.
She could answer questions. Potentially go on a date.
Since Katie Porter isn't advancing to run for Senate, she's got that whiteboard, does math really well. Katie Porter could come in here and add up all of Blac Chyna's assets.
We could put it together. Figure it out. I'd be good at that. Yeah, I could figure it out.
Or better yet, we could get our friend,
the Pornhub math guy. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What did you say, Les? She could go on a date
with Kurt.
That's good.
You know, I could be like one-stop shopping.
I like the sound of this. She can really get her life together.
Right? Well, before we move on, I have June Squibb news.
And now for the June Squibb Report. Here's Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Well, favorite actress June Squibb is like booking. She's, what do they call it? She's booked, blessed, and busy because she actually has a summer comedy coming out. She's 94 years old and she is still cranking out movies.
And not just any movie, an action comedy.
Yes. Yes. An action comedy. It's called Thelma. And this movie it sounds like a movie that I'd like, actually, because the cast sounds pretty fun. So the cast is Parker Posey, Malcolm McDowell, and the late Richard Roundtree, Shaft.
Okay.
How long? Didn't he die a while ago?
Was it a year ago? I think it was like a year ago.
Okay, I'm just wondering when they filmed this thing. See.
And then remember, because of the strikes, things were pushed back. So maybe maybe this is the casualty of the strikes.
Now, he died October 24th of 2023.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so he just died.
Too bad. He was 81. He was like to Squibb, he was like a kid.
Yeah.
So she's like, come here, Rich, come here, kid.
What a young man.
Get out.
She must have been, they must have been like, well, you know, he lived a long life. She was probably like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
He could have been making movies for another 20 years.
You think, right? I haven't seen a trailer for this movie yet, but do you think, because it's an action comedy, do you think it's possible there is a scene in the movie where there is a giant explosion and June Squibb is just walking away from it in slow-mo. Maybe even like wheeling, wheelchair, like wheeling away from it.
I would love that. Yeah. I would love that. And I would love for her to shoot something and then take the gun and blow on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they need to, you know, she needs to get all the, she needs to put out as much product as she can.
Well, I was reading up on June and I love the fact she worked a lot, but she did not start getting work that gave her notoriety until she was like in her 60s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I like that. Late bloomer.
Yeah, but it kind of sucks to have all your success like in your 90s in a way. Like you're a movie star in your 90s. Like all your, all those teachers from years ago told you, you know, you were, we're going to make it, whatever. They've been dead for like 40 years now.
Also imagine, like, not just that, but like you're doing press junkets. Like press junkets are a slog for even the absolute best celebrities that with the most energy. Imagine being 94 and having to like just do like radio interviews for 8 hours straight.
Right. But see, here's the deal about being 90 though. Like she could probably yell at people and get away with it, or fall asleep and take a little nap and get away with it.
Yeah,
that's true. Because what are they gonna hold over her? Like you're not gonna work anymore. Well, nobody's working anymore. I'm surprised I'm working now.
That's true. Does make you look like an a-hole if you're like, hey, June, wake up.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, they're not even waking her up.
and people, you know. As an older person, you can yell at people and they're not going to yell back at you because they're being respectful.
Yeah. I don't think that's the case with her, though. I think she's nice, from what I understand. The set of Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. They said she was too nice. Cool.
Yeah, they said she was pretty professional and stuff.
I wonder if she's kind of like a dirty older woman who's like, fuck, like her language is all like, fuck, shit. Like, you know, like she swears like a sailor.
Well, she hasn't given up. You know, you say like people just, oh, they've given up. She hasn't given up because she's on the ball. She's out there. She's working. She's doing her thing.
So I bet that like, keeps her young.
I think she's keeping it together. I don't think she's walking around saying fuck shit.
Also, I mean,
I don't mean like fuck shit.
She
like,
owes like, she has, a like, tremendous amount of money to the mob, so she needs to keep working.
And I bet, like, it keeps her brain sharp because she's got all this memorization to do.
Yeah, she's got to be pretty sharp.
Yeah.
No assisted living for her.
Good for June.
Maybe she's, like, 101.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'd like to be working like that when I'm 94.
Well, when you think about it, though, it's film work, so it's not like, you know, you basically you sit around most of the day.
But if you're like first in the call sheet, though, it's not quite the cakewalk that it is if you're, you know, you have like five lines and that's it.
Right. True.
And, you know, June Squibb, known for we're doing a lot of like heavy prosthetics, a lot of fight sequences. She's got to, you know, go get her combat training.
Yes.
Speaking of combat, Jason, how was Madonna?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was really good. I went on, we're recording this on Wednesday, March 6th. So I saw it on Monday night here in LA, and it was really good. We got last minute seats on the floor. Because here's the thing, the Madonna tickets are expensive as fuck out of the gate. But there's a lot of like the bots that will buy up the tickets. And then if nobody buys them from the reseller bots, then they release them back to be sold. So we got floor seats for like, I think half of what the regular price was or at the very least significantly lower than the bots were selling them for,
which still ain't cheap. Half the price still isn't cheap.
Yeah.
Did she sing that song, Wanting?
Justify My Love? Yes, she did do that.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's the celebration tour, so she's celebrating her career. So she did most of her big songs. But the way it was framed, there were these like sort of sections of the show that were all representing different stages of her career or her life. Like there was like a Truth or Dare section that was sort of like almost like being followed constantly by cameras. It was really, really well staged. And, you know, she puts on a great show. Even if you've never been a fan of Madonna, if you want to see the person that invented doing the massive stadium tour at the level that like the Taylor Swifts of the world are doing it at now, Madonna did this first.
And she dances, unlike Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor dances. Who's writing? Yeah, what's going on there?
That's Les.
Les, you know we do an audio format here, right? Oh,
sorry, I'm doodling.
Doodling?
Okay. Yes.
Show us your doodle. Not a euphemism. What? Show us your doodle.
Oh, no, it's just like a square. Like I was drawing like a blockhead.
A block, yeah. Okay.
Well that's anyway, gentlemen.
Art. Okay.
Gentlemen, tell me about this movie. Tell me story.
This movie's called Guiding Emily.
It was from Hallmark.
Yep.
And I'll read the log line of the movie. Emily's life changes forever after she loses her eyesight with a guide dog while a guide dog struggles with training. Through a series of missed encounters, both overcome obstacles and find each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you had us watch, Les.
Yeah, and you didn't even watch it. And I didn't want to watch it again.
I'm not watching this again.
I don't want to watch it
again. Emily didn't want to watch it at all.
Poor woman's blind. I'm sure we have the blind community are listening.
Did it start out with an accident?
Well, it doesn't start. No, she doesn't start off blind, no.
Was she very busy?
Well, let's get started. We can get started onto it.
Okay. Yeah. Either one.
I start. You want to start?
You can start, Kurt.
I'll get started, I guess. So first we see a bunch of puppies, and then there's a guy named Mark. So we meet this guy, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, they're using the Natalie Cole song "This Will Be" that you always hear in commercials for like fabric softener and stuff.
That song.
Yeah, but it's like
"This Will Be."
Yeah, and you see puppies playing and stuff to that song.
Oh, that's so cute.
Well, I like cats. I'm not a dog person. I prefer cats. So, he holds a little puppy, and the puppy's name is Garth.
So voiced by, voiced by Eric McCormick.
Eric McCormick is going to be the voice.
Will from Will and Grace. Truman. Yes.
Yes.
He's the biggest name in the cast.
He plays the puppy named Garth, and Garth is going to be a guide dog. Uh-huh. So the deal is that they have to put Garth with an owner for 2 years, and then she's going to keep the dog for 2 years and train the dog, and then she will release the dog onto somebody, a blind person. I guess that was specifically what it was for, right?
Yeah, basically, like, I know a little bit about this because someone I went to school with trains dogs, and I remember seeing him post about this once. So, like, with a little puppy, you can't train them to be a guide dog out of the gate. You just need to let him be a puppy and learn how to be a good dog in the house first, and then you start teaching him more so that they can actually guide you around. So they foster them with these homes for a couple of years, so that the dog can get acclimated to being around people.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now then we cut to a rock wall. Now the way the angle was shot, there was this guy was all you see him is from the back, like the back of his head. He's big, like leaned against the rock wall, and he's like, "Oh!" And I thought he was like somebody was, you know, taking advantage of him from behind. That's what it looked like.
Oh,
which would have been a new development in a Hallmark film.
Was and he cute?
Yeah.
Connor.
Yeah, Connor was cute.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's Connor.
And so it was Mark, the guy, the dog trainer guy, he was kind of cute too. We've seen him before.
Okay.
I didn't recognize him. So then there's another guy, there's the owner of the rock place. That's Matthew.
Yeah.
And so Connor, okay, so then Emily shows up, right? So Emily shows up. No, Emily's already there, I think, right?
Yeah, she's climbing too. And then she gets off and she kisses Connor when he gets down, and they talk about donuts.
Yeah, they don't eat well in this movie.
You're upset. I thought you'd be happy they were talking about donuts.
I just ate some Oreos and stuff, so I'm feeling bloated.
So he's really guilty.
Yes, I'm not feeling good about it. It reminds me of wrong, so, you know.
So then obviously this movie was not based in Los Angeles if she's talking about eating donuts.
Do they ever tip the hat as to where this took place? I don't think they did.
No, but it's a very nice area.
It was very pretty, yeah.
Potato chips and stuff. So then Matthew's sitting there, and they invite him to go hang out with them as kind of like a third wheel. And Connor even refers to Matthew as big fella. All right, big fella.
And Matthew was kind of mopey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he zofting?
Was he wedding?
Was he kind of chunky?
No. Like, no, big? Matthew was hot.
Okay.
Matthew was hot. And I don't think I'm giving anything away because he's in the artwork for the movie. Matthew is the main guy. He turns out to be the main guy, yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy, yeah. So I see a quick scene where there's a cake. There's a cupcake specifically made for a dog.
And Kirk, did you light up because of the cupcake?
No, it's a waste. Why are you making a cupcake for a dog? A dog will eat out of a kitty litter box.
But you can't feed a dog all foods. There are actual pet bakeries.
But why? Does the dog appreciate that?
Well, for instance, there's a moment that happens right after this that where chocolate falls on the ground and they have to like get the dog before the dog gets the chocolate because dogs can't have that. They could die.
Okay. Well, they've got a peanut butter pup cake. Mm-hmm. And then the dog meets Emily. Like Emily randomly meet. And now the dog, Garth is now, he's just set on Emily.
Yeah.
He needs to live with Emily.
And again, Emily is not blind at this point in the movie.
No. So he wishes, like, he wishes evil on her or blindness on her?
Oh, no. You imagine? if Hallmark is like, we can't have anyone being too much of an asshole, but what if it's a dog?
So Les, in the next scene, Garth jumps up and bites her eyes out.
Wow. And it is violent.
I was a little surprised by that, but I knew, you know, they had to come somehow to get the plot going.
I was wondering why Rick Baker was credited at the beginning of the movie.
Cujo. So then there's a board meeting.
Yeah. Borders, right?
What kind of job did she have? What were these people up to?
I don't know if that was ever being clear, now that you mention it.
There's a sad man who works, is part of the board. His name is Drew. He's a very dorky, nerdy, kind of a, what you call a spaz back in the early 80s. He's held on to that. And he just wants to work all weekend. There's nothing. He has no, you know, social calendar. It's just a disaster. And she will not allow him to work.
Oh.
Well, because he's like, oh, I'm going to check the numbers and blah, blah, blah over the weekend. She's like, that's our weekend. It's not working hours. We work 9 to 5. You can do your work during work hours.
Good for her. I like her.
Because they were going around asking what everyone was going to do for the weekend. Drew said that. And then there was a woman that said she was excited about Potato Day.
Ooh, I would like Potato Day too. Like, they just eat mashed potatoes.
It made me think of back in the day when Rage, the gay nightclub in West Hollywood. Of yesteryear, when Rage on Wednesday nights used to do baked potato night.
I remember that. I would go there and eat baked potatoes sometimes.
A gay nightclub that's like, hey, you know what's going to lure the twinks here? Baked potatoes.
Maybe it was. No, baked potatoes are good.
Well, but you would only eat, like, you'd pick at the potato and eat a little of it. You couldn't eat the whole thing in public.
You could. And all the fixins, all of them.
Oh, I remember sour cream, chives,
bacon bits.
Yep. Oh, I remember.
So then she's meeting up with Connor, and they're going to be going away for the weekend without any kind of social media or anything, any kind of electronics.
And
it's the all new Hallmark where they're going away on a trip together and they're not even married.
Well, exactly. Like, because they it wasn't 100% clear whether or not they were married, but they were going away together, weekend together, and they were not married.
And they're going to get a couples massage.
Oh.
Now, you got to be careful with those massages. You got to put your foot down right in the beginning and say, look, I just want a massage.
Wait, you're doing massages wrong, Kurt. If you're putting your foot down and saying this is the way it's going to be and that's what you follow up with.
Yeah, that's what you got to say.
No, normally you're just like, have at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now you gotta
if the person doing the massage is somebody that you would like to do more than a massage, why would you stop them in advance?
True.
Well, I don't know.
True. Not that I know about that or anything, but, you know, a little birdie told me.
A little birdie's the problem. I don't know. I don't know how healthy that is. You gotta.
Oh, it's healthy.
Yeah, very healthy. Natural.
All right.
Good for the mental health.
A little birdie told me. Yeah, be careful. So that was a concern of mine. So then
it was a concern.
Okay. So then I have something. Oh, Mark and the woman and the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, this is he drops the dog off with this woman, attractive woman. And I guess her child?
It's her son, yeah.
Okay, she has a child, yeah. I don't think there's a husband around.
I got the impression she was single mom. This is her son. I also got the impression that they only had the son for one day of filming because after like one or two scenes, he's not in the movie at all anymore.
Yeah.
I actually got the impression that this was two different movies that involve people being blind that they combined into one.
Oh, really?
I think the whole dog storyline and the whole Emily storyline do not actually really converge on paper. And then after the fact, they're like, we should try and make these two movies work together.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Did you get that impression, Kurt?
Because
the dog stuff is barely integrated with the Emily stuff.
Really?
Until the very end of the movie.
So the dog was just like living his own life.
Well, it just feels shoehorned into the Emily story.
I guess. I mean.
Like, other than, like, the meet cute at the beginning to justify why this dog would want to be with her, and then, like, another random meeting in the middle. Like, it's not like they're constantly in each other's lives throughout this movie. They're, like, there's the whole Emily movie happening with her and Connor and her and this other guy, Matthew, rather, and her work life with her coworkers and Drew and her mom and all of that. And then on the side, it's, like, dog trainer guy and lady who I could see in another Hallmark movie would have gotten together, and then she's a single mom with this son.
That could have worked.
Oh, that is the formula.
They kind of like two scripts.
Yeah.
And they just kind of pared them down together.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, they're talking to the dog as if the dog can understand them.
Now, is the dog making smart-ass comments in his head? Like, yeah, look at you.
No.
Like, stuff like that?
No. No.
No, there's no witty repartee.
The dog is largely just the framing device of the movie, is the dog is the narrator.
Okay.
But the dog isn't, like, talking about Emily's life. The dog is only talking about how he fits in Emily's life. Another reason why I don't think that these were one movie at one point.
Okay.
Or, yeah, you know what I mean.
The next one, we have a rowboat in a beautiful area. I'm not sure what area this was, but they're out in the water somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is Connor and Emily, and they're talking about planning their wedding, which just sounds like a real pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor has 20 cousins, and they've got families, and he's an only child. She's an only child. But she thinks they should elope. Uh-huh. I say yes to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where the trouble sets in. So then they park the boat, and then you could help me out with this, Jason, but they're kind of like, it's like a rocky area.
They were like hiking. They're hiking along this trail, and the trail's fine. It's not that treacherous. And there's like, oh, we can go back the way we came, or we can go this other way that might take a little longer. And, Connor is like, oh, let's just do this. And he like goes climbing up this rock. So he's up ahead of her. And she's like, that's not the way. He's like, oh, we'll figure it out. And he's up there. And then she's about to follow him. And as he steps his foot on this rock, a bunch of like pieces start flying off. And like a rock smacks Emily in the face as she falls to the ground. And it makes her go blind.
I would dump his ass in a second.
No. Well, no, she does. She has even better reasons to dump his ass afterwards.
Yes.
So, like, did it like damage her face? Did she have like blood?
Well, no, you know,
it knocked her out.
It knocked her out, and then there's some sort of something about a tearing of a retina or something. But it allegedly was there before, and something. It was just going to be a traumatic event that set it off anyway. Basically, you know, Hallmark trying to let this guy off the hook a little bit.
I've heard this phenomenon three times in the last week, where there's something there's a problem that you have, and then something happens. You like hit your head or something, and I've heard about this with like early onset dementia, with MS, and now it's blindness. It's like something happens where you know something physical. You do something physical, and this thing that's dormant in your system just erupts.
Just kicks in.
Wow. Yeah. So this is what's happened to her. So next thing, we're in a hospital. Mm-hmm. She's got like a bandage around like her head and her eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then this
is dark as fuck, by the way, for any movie, much less a Hallmark movie.
Even the lighting too. Is that? That's what you mean?
No, I just mean like the for a premise for a movie. Hey, yeah. I just went blind. Like that's a hard place to start from.
And the fact that she still didn't break up, I'd be like, get out.
Yeah, but that's not really. Is it his fault though? Really?
Yes, because if we would have gone the other way, then we wouldn't have climbed up a rock.
Well, they do. They are trying to paint this guy as not the most caring person in the world. Like they were painting him as someone that was busy and couldn't leave his phone behind while they're on this little vacation. They had talked about that a few times, and then a few other things happen later in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't blame him for her going blind. I could see how you could arrive at that, but really, really, he's not really responsible
in
for
fairness
that.
To Hallmark, though, this might be the first time we've ever seen. And again, I'm not spoiling anything because of the artwork for the movie, but this might be the first time where we've ever seen like a ex or partner of one of the characters that is no longer the partner not be treated like the asshole that they were. He is. They're letting him be the asshole here.
Okay.
Yeah. So the
and you'll see why soon.
Okay.
Doctor says she's got post-traumatic iridocyclitis, something like that. She might not get her vision back.
Oh, it's a maybe?
Yeah.
She might get it. She might not. Now, the doctor can't say. The doctor can never say.
So Hallmark didn't want to commit to the tragedy, so they said maybe.
Well, no. I think this is actually what doctors will do if there's no... 100%. This usually isn't like 100%.
Yeah. You don't want to give false hope.
Yeah. They won't say it. They get sued too. I think that's
there's
so now
that.
She's home. Now she's home with her two least favorite people, her mom and her boyfriend. And I don't know. Or maybe she likes them. And so they're trying to get things together. Okay. So now this is one of the dickish things that Connor does. So the mom's not home. And she's just in the house. And Connor was supposed to be home. So she gets home and starts like crawling, not crawling, but kind of feeling her way around for a really unnutritious meal. She gets a soda, a beer, and chips.
Well, so she didn't know.
So she has to find it herself?
Well, she's in the fridge, and she doesn't know if it's a soda or a beer. So she grabs it and hopes for the best. And then she grabs what she thinks are chips. And it turns out to be like uncooked noodles, and then she trips and it goes everywhere.
See, I'd be like, I hate all of you. Get me out of here.
Well, it's Connor's fault, not the mom, because then the mom's there and cleaning up the mess when Connor gets home, and the mom is pissed as she should be, and fucking chews out Connor.
Good. She yells at him. She's like, "You asshole!" Yeah.
As soon as he walks in, she gives him a look.
Good.
And then, she chews him out.
And Emily tells him both to knock it the fuck off.
I don't blame her. She says, I'd like to be away from both of you. So then, Emily says, well, could you include me in this? And then the mom says, well, I think you need to be with me. Yeah. She says, all right.
Connor just lets her go with the mom. He's like, fine.
Well, Connor's going to visit like on weekends.
Yeah, because Connor's busy working.
Break up with that asshole.
Mm-hmm. Also, they never actually said this, but I get the impression that Emily and Connor live together.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Well, they were vacationing together.
They went on vacation together, but I got the impression this was their place together.
Okay.
It's never actually said, though, so it doesn't necessarily need to be that, but...
Okay.
Okay. So then they go to the... So then she moves in into her mom's house, which is... That's in this beautiful area.
It's legitimately probably the biggest movie we've ever seen in a Hallmark... Or biggest house we've ever seen in a Hallmark movie. Oh. Like, even bigger than these castles. It was gigantic and never commented on how big it was.
No. But the area, it's like on the water, and it's like I don't know where this was.
It was massive. Like, I bet you that was at least 15 bedrooms in that house.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, the mother's got room for her.
Yeah.
Cut back to that rock wall place. We see Matthew, the owner. He's trying to call her. He can't get a hold of her because she's keeping things a secret.
Who
Emily. Emily's keeping things a secret from everybody.
Oh, so is it like ice castles where she's pretending like she can see, but she can't?
No, she just doesn't want her like work people to. She doesn't want to like she doesn't want to face it for herself, so she doesn't want anyone else to know about it, so she's getting asked about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we just have a couple of things. So her mom brings her lemonade. They hear some birds chirping, trying to figure out who the birds are. And that'll come back later in a minor way, I guess. Or then we go back to the dog. We see the dog's getting trained, and it's all kind of chaos.
There a montage? A dog training montage?
Not really.
No. I mean, a couple of cuts. I wouldn't call it a montage. There was no music set to it.
Then I have, Connor gets a visit from that dorky guy, Drew. Does seem like a nice guy. But. And Drew is suspicious. He kind of is. He wants to know what's going on with that. Why is Emily absent?
Yeah, and Connor is being cagey about it because he knows Emily doesn't want people to know that she's injured.
So Drew's being like Mrs. Kravitz, Drew's being like Gladys Kravitz.
Yeah. But fairness to Drew, like, Emily has gone MIA from her job where she's their boss. And he's just like, she's not answering any of our texts or calls. It's been 3 weeks.
Right.
But he's just going to show up at her house?
After 3 weeks of not hearing from your boss? Yeah. That's not weird.
I might call the police.
Yeah.
Like, could you do a wellness check? Mm-hmm.
So her mom didn't even call in and say, hey, listen, my daughter is having a personal mom.
Frankly, mom and Connor should have taken it upon themselves to be like, sorry, Emily, we're telling your coworkers.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're at the mom's house, and the neighbor girl stops over. Mm-hmm. Young girl. Her name is Zoe. And So Emily's look these days is she's got kind of like a bandage around her eyes, and she's wearing like sunglasses, kind of like the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got the glasses in the eyes.
Like big Jackie O's?
Not even, just like normal sunglasses. Because from a filming perspective, I think the director wanted the bandage showing.
Oh, because I would think that big Jackie O's would be perfect because they'd hide... They'd hide things.
Yeah, I think if you're actually blind and wearing bandages on your eyes, you'd probably do that. But in terms of like just reminding the audience of what they're watching, you probably want the bandage to show a little bit.
Kurt, you know what Jackie O's are, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Big glasses.
Jackie O would wear big glasses like that because she said that if you wore big glasses, you wouldn't scrunch, and so it would prevent crow's feet. So that's why she did that.
Oh. Well, Zoe's doing all kinds of rude things and nodding, pointing.
to fuck with her?
No, she wasn't pointing, but she was nodding. And Emily's like, I can't see. I can't see if you're nodding. And Emily makes it a point to tell her this is temporary. She will be able to see again. And then she'll find her and beat her ass for.
But Zoe asks, are you going to get a dog? Oh. Tries to plant that seed. Are you going to get a dog?
She plants.
Even though she said it's going to be temporary, but you need a dog.
Yeah. Well, Zoe's young. She's a teenager.
Okay. Young.
She looked like she was 17, but I think the character is supposed to be 12.
Really?
Yeah. I think they said 12 or 13 later. It's like, what? She looks like an adult.
So Zoe's the one that gets the beer for her friend.
She's aging in dog years. No. Yeah. So then Drew comes over. Spazzy guy.
Yeah.
And he's got junk food because nobody can eat healthy.
So once again, they're bringing her junk. There's like no salad, no nothing.
No, potato chips and pork rinds, all kinds of awful things. Those straws with sugar in it.
Oh, Pixie sticks?
Pixie sticks. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. I used to love Pixie sticks.
Same.
Pixie sticks, yeah. So what do they do? So he gives her like a phone, like a user-friendly phone.
Because like any phone, you can change the settings so it's more accessible if you can't see or can't hear.
So Drew knows she's blind now.
He finds out now that he's at the house. Or maybe Connor. Okay. I forget how he actually knows at this point.
Connor
may have finally spilled.
Connor has a big mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I actually feel like that redeems him a little bit.
Okay.
He's a dick in many other ways, but like he should be telling her coworkers, hey, there's something going on here.
Okay.
Yeah. So now things get a little... So she texts Connor because now she knows how to operate the phone and be blind.
Yeah.
So now Connor comes over. And now I don't know where... What's the subtle hint here? He's like, well, where's your mom? And she's running errands. And she's like, well, I don't think she's running errands. So apparently what's mom doing, waiting in her car?
I wrote in my notes that it's implied that the mom is out getting some D. And it was that line. Because it was like, what does that line mean? Where's that coming from? it was kind of winky, winky, tongue in cheek.
So the mom left her alone so she could run out and get some tail?
Maybe.
Oh,
but you're saying the mom was getting some tail.
Yeah, it was implied that the mom wasn't there because something was going on with the mom.
Oof. Wow.
Well, she has needs.
Well, she's got a big house too.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he kisses her. Okay. He wants to take her out to eat, but she's afraid that people will stare at her. Well, she won't see that.
But she wouldn't know anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She can't see them staring.
Meanwhile, at the house with the dog eats a chip.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Nobody's eating healthy. It's just a free-for-all. Is anybody worried about their blood pressure or anything in this movie?
So the dog, dogs can eat chips, though.
All right, so now they're at the restaurant. They're going to get bacon burgers. Ooh. And he walks her to the bathroom. And I was thinking, this has got to be kind of exhausting. Because you got to walk the person and say, okay, here comes a step. Here comes step up the step.
You can't just leave them. You've got to take them into the bathroom.
Well, that's what I thought was funny is that he like walks her to the bathroom. And as he's doing it, I'm like, is he going to go into the bathroom in a Hallmark movie? And he did not. He left her to her own devices.
Dick but that's, move. That's cruel.
Well, we'll find out.
It gets worse. He lets her go into the bathroom and she's confused trying to find the water and everything. And then he's standing outside the door, but then he gets a phone call, so he walks away.
Yeah.
So then and she doesn't know where to sit.
Like, no, she comes out and she doesn't know what to do.
She couldn't find a way to dry her hands. Her hands are all wet. She's disoriented as fuck.
She ate on the toilet and sat on the toilet without falling in or anything.
And she ate a lot of fiber earlier.
No, she backed up. All the chips and now the bacon. Well, the bacon burgers probably.
And she chased it with a gallon of heavy cream, which was unnecessary.
Yeah, man, that's cheese. Jesus, more bad memories. I'm triggered, but I'll tell you this: then she got out, and the server woman who. They should have established that the server woman had somebody blind in her family, or whatever, because it seemed like she really knew what she was doing.
She knew more about how to guide a person around than even the dog did at the end of the movie.
So the server woman.
The server woman, Libby, I think her name was, or Lindy or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she helps her out because her boyfriend is like in the next room
chatting on the phone.
Yeah, and
well,
then
he should
like,
have been dumped anyway for like kicking the rock in her face.
Yeah, well, what happens is she doesn't even want to stay to eat anymore.
Yeah,
she's like, "Let's go. I've had."
Well, I'd be like, "Get that burger. Fuck you, but get the burger to go."
That's exactly what she said. She's like, "Box him up."
Good.
She didn't say "fuck you," but she said, "Box him up.
Get him to go." Yes. Take me home, asshole.
Yeah.
I'll reheat this. Good. Okay, good. Good for her.
Okay. Then we have just another little scene with a dog and the woman. I don't know.
Yeah, Katie, the mom, and the son, and they're socializing the dog. But again, like, not really interacting with the main storyline.
No. And not much going on with the dog.
No.
So now we're at the mom's house again, and she's talking to Zoe. Young girl, but the rock climbing club tells her to go join that rock climbing club and say hi to Matthew.
And be careful, because it'll kick a rock in your head and blind you.
No, Connor did that.
Yeah.
So Connor shows up, and then she lets him know that he should not blame himself.
No, it should have been, this is your fault. You I did just, this to me.
Wait, back up. Important detail left out. Before this, when Zoe is talking to Emily about possibly joining a rock climbing club, she mentions that she's been invited to go to this rock climbing place, and it turns out it's Matthew's gym.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought I said that, yeah. She said, say hi to Matthew.
Pinch him, okay. Pinch him on the butt for me.
And now Connor says, well, I got a promotion, and I'm going to have to move to Tokyo.
So you blind me. And then you leave the kind of, you blind me, you strand me in a bathroom, and now you move to Tokyo.
Now you're dumping me.
She starts to say that. As she starts saying it, he tiptoes away. And she keeps rambling on and on.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
And he's got a little tape recorder of recording of his voice just going, Yeah.
I would have been livid if that really happened.
That'd be awesome.
I would have been so livid.
It's so fucked up.
Now, unfortunately, we know that Emily ain't going to see it again because they spoiled it early in the movie. Very early in the movie. Because one of the first times we see the dog, the dog says with Eric McCormick's voice, he goes, this is the first time I saw Emily. And this is the first time she's seen me and the last time she'll see me.
Wow.
So we already know.
Foreboding.
That's a surgery.
So, I hadn't done that math. You're right. They did tell us away.
Plus, it's a non-Christmas movie on a Hallmark movie, so they can get away with that. If this was a Christmas movie, she'd have to get her sight back.
Well, I thought for sure that she was going to, but I will say the way they built up all the positive ways she can move through her life without eyesight, it was actually really nice that they didn't make that choice. Uh-huh. It's really nice that they let the character not keep her sight.
Now, in the meantime, was she looking fabulous? Like even though she's been through this accident.
I thought she was attractive.
Yeah, she was very cute. Very cute.
She had red hair, and there's... Uh-huh. That's... That could be
so it was like, ladies, don't let being in an accident get you down. You can still be super cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very positive movie towards blind people or people who have to move through the world with, you know,
visually impaired.
Yeah.
No, I knew a guy who was visually impaired. Like, I kind of dated him for a while. He was super cute. He didn't use a dog though. He used a cane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, now is a scene where she's in the hospital, and somehow she does have some interaction with the dog. They cross paths, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now she's down to the big reveal. They're taking like the cotton balls off her eyes, whatever it is, and see if she could see. And they're like, wait,
now was this going to be like a make or break sort of a, this is one chance, and if you can't see this time, then that
didn't say that. Like really throughout the entire movie, the idea is floated. So they probably didn't commit till late in the game of filming this, but the idea is floated that her sight still could come back.
Right.
It might just take longer.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Really? Because she seemed kind of resigned after this.
She did seem resigned, but I think they always left that door open that the character could still regain her sight.
Okay, but now now she opens her eyes, she can't see.
Uh-huh.
So they tried something that didn't work. Now she's just a mess, goes back to her mom's house. Zoe's there and asking her like all these questions, and she's like, shut up.
Good. She's like, shut up, Zoe. Get out.
Boundaries, learn them. Then we go.
She threw a rock at Zoe, but misses because.
She threw a rock.
Good save.
Hits her mom instead of
just tried.
And if you thought this movie was dark before this.
She threw a rock and said, if it hits anybody in my life, I've achieved something. No. Anyway, now we're at the dog's house. We're in the dog house. And the dog.
So are they saying, like, we're going to get you a dog?
Yep.
Yeah, here and there. It gets dripped in there.
Yeah, it's just, it's sort of shoehorned into the movie.
Now the dog is fucking up the house, eating the carpet, shitting on the rug, eating stuff he's not supposed to eat.
And this is after his training?
Again, he's being trained to, like, not be a puppy, to just be, like, a house dog. So, you know, dogs do that in their early years.
Wait, so she's got to wait, like, another 2 years for this
Yeah, dog? It's a long waiting period to get a guide dog, and they make that clear in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Wow, dog is
causing trouble. So, but then the man comes over. What's the man's name?
Mark.
Matthew. No, not Matthew. Mark. It's Mark.
Mark, yeah.
This is the dog man. And he comes over. And what does he do? Oh, well, he says it's going well. And then, so the dog just says, well, I'm going to be, I remember Emily. I'm going to be Emily's guide. So.
Since I wish this upon her.
The dog read the laws of attraction. Watch the DVD. He found the old DVD of The Secret.
Did, yeah.
The Secret.
Yeah, from some years ago. It's like, I'm going to put this into action. All right. Drew. Now we're back at the mom's house. What do I have here? Drew brings her a something. Oh, a desk.
Oh, Drew's turning out to be nice.
I think she could be with Drew. I think it's reasonable. In fact, I write
nicer. He's like, get back to work.
Maybe it's that. See, I wrote marry Drew.
I don't think she was Drew's type.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Drew is a confirmed bachelor.
Well, I don't know if he's a confirmed bachelor, but. I get the impression that it's possible Drew wasn't interested in Emily in that way.
Okay.
Possible maybe he is. On the Kinsey scale, he might be. But I feel like on the Kinsey scale of things, probably not so much.
Gotcha.
Would be my guess.
Got it.
On the Kinsey scale.
Kinsey scale. Like people's sexuality and what they're attracted to.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there was a movie about Kinsley, right, with Liam Neeson, or was that right?
And there was a TV show.
Ray Fiennes, somebody was in it. Well, anyway, she says she doesn't want to work. She gets a resignation letter. She says, give this to HR. I am done. I'm through. She's giving up.
Then just get a pep talk from Drew?
Not quite yet, no.
Uh-huh.
Then, Matthew comes by. Remember, that's the guy who owns the rock climbing place, and he's motivating her now. He wants her to get up and walk.
Yeah, because Zoe chewed him out at the gym, and said like, "Hey, this is what's going on." So now he knows that Emily's been MIA, and he knows why, and he's trying to like get her moving. And this is when we found out Zoe was in middle school.
You're like, Zoe, you're very well developed for middle school.
So she and Matthew are walking around along the shore, and she's giving him this big sob tale, which she says, I'm blind. Connor left me. I got no
job. And he's like, well, I can move on in now.
Pretty much.
He's like, oh, good. And then she's like, well, what do you have any sad things? And he said, well, a good female friend of mine stopped going to my rock place, and I didn't even know he was talking about her at first, but he was.
Oh, so he's smooth talking her, like working his way in.
And I wish she'd keep going, or at least renew her subscription for another month.
So he's like moving in.
Her membership, I should say. And then they hear.
Yeah, he's really just trying to get her renew her membership.
Yeah. I just wish it's only It's only another $200.
We're having a refer a friend deal right now, Emily. I know like you're probably not using your membership right now, but people are probably reaching out to you. And if you know any of them want to help you back up on your feet, they can help you even more if they're strong from climbing.
Well, then they hear a wood thrush.
A wood thrush.
A bird.
Yeah. Sounds dirty, but it's not. It's a little birdie.
And is she like, oh my gosh, I hear a wood thrush?
No, she didn't.
She knows what it is.
She didn't. She asked because she keeps hearing it.
Okay.
She says, I hear a little birdie. And it says, that's a wood thrush.
Because then when your sight, when you become visually impaired, your hearing gets better.
Mm-hmm. And this is is this the point in the movie where she starts solving crime, Kurt?
Yes. She solves some mysteries of the unknown. She uncovers an alien who was living in the sand by the shore. Yeah. But then she goes home. But after that, she goes home, and I thought it was a surprise party for her. But now Drew and other people she work with, some of them aren't allowed to talk, but other people she work with are all there.
Yeah. They're basically doing an intervention with her of like, hey, dumbass, we're not letting you quit.
Yeah, they won't let her do it.
And they need a raise.
Yeah. They're like, one of them, like, he handed the resignation letter to somebody else. They said, I can't do it. They said they give it to somebody else to the point where nobody ever handed it into HR.
And okay, like, back to the dog. Still have some sick days left, so come on back.
You know, if these assholes were smart, they would have used that, like, basically said that they turned in a resignation, but just keep collecting her salary.
Yes.
Like, collect the checks and cash it. Nobody's going to know.
Yeah. Like, split it.
Well, then we see Garth the dog and a skunk, which really doesn't mean much to the story. Now I have Emily calls Matthew, and they go to a blind school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
Did they have a blind school in that?
They did. Yeah, because Mary was blind.
Little House on the Prairie.
That's where she met. Mary met the husband, right?
Yeah, and then it got like a spinoff and everything.
That had a spinoff.
Yes.
Mary had a spinoff.
The blind school had a spinoff.
It did.
It did.
Yes.
Wow, it was a progressive year.
Because remember, like, half of the people were, like, African-American in the blind school. It got a spinoff, but then it stayed Little House on the Prairie as well. Like, it would jump between shows. Remember, like, Dynasty and the Colbys, they would jump between shows. It was kind of like that, but they did have their own spinoff.
I don't remember that.
I didn't watch it first run.
Like,
I don't.
It was called Father Moses or something like that.
Well, there was Father Something that was a spinoff.
Jeez, I gotta look this up.
And that was like with the blind school too. So the blind school was kind of jumped around on both shows.
I'm gonna have to do a deep dive on this later.
Well, I'm checking it out right now.
Because I just remember the later seasons, A Little House, A New Beginning.
Yes, with Shannon Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
This is spinoffs.
And Nancy.
Backdoor pilot. Here we go, spinoffs and sequels. Yeah, there was Little House, A New Beginning. There was a backdoor pilot. Okay, that's not what we're looking
like
for.
Like Father Murphy or Father Something, Something.
There was something called, there was Made for TV. I'm not seeing anything about a blind school.
It may have just been like a two-parter that was like supposed to be a pilot, but then didn't get picked up. So it just aired as part of Little House.
Yeah.
Shannon Doherty. Was in
yeah,
house.
She was in little house in the beginning.
Yep. Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't know anything about the blind school there, but this woman, she goes to the blind school and they have her feeling fabric. Mm-hmm. And where are we? Feeling fabric. Woman who gave her to the... Okay, so this woman gives them the tour, and then Emily's very surprised to find out this woman who gave the tour is blind.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she's like, yeah, I live my life. I date. She's getting some action. She says, and I went skiing.
Right. There you go.
Be careful with that. So it's kind of nice. It's a nice, she's learning that blind people could do many things. It's not the end of the road. And then, the tour guide is walking outside with Emily and she just leaves her there.
Yeah.
Just leaves her there.
Well, no, it's 2 months later now. And Julie is her name. She's walking with Emily. And then she's like, okay, now it's time to walk on your own. And she just like lets Emily run into the forest and tells her to find her way back. It was like a Lifetime movie.
Oh, gosh. Oh, so it was like a vision quest, kind of?
And Julie can't see either. She's running into the, I don't know where she's going, but no, but then, so Julie is with Matthew. They're standing together, mm-hmm. and they're watching Emily walking around. Emily almost gets hit by a car, first of all.
Yeah.
She walks to, like, the edge of the street, and, of course, a car is, like, you know, a tractor trailer is zipping by. And then she falls, and they're just standing there watching her. She has to learn on her own.
It should be pointed out, by the way. Like, I realized they were trying to show us with a little bit of dramatic flair that, like, Emily's going to figure it out and she's going to be safe. But if there really were a blind school there that had a road running right next to it, there'd probably be signs and speed bumps everywhere warning that there's a bunch of people around that can't see.
Right.
And if I'm blind, could I please have a teacher that's not blind? I want someone looking out for me.
Like, I live close to, like, a hearing impaired school, and there's signs that say there are people that are hearing impaired. Be careful.
Yeah.
If I can't walk, I don't want a caregiver who can't walk. How's it going to help me? If I'm blind, give me someone who can see. Because she can't see. Her person who's teacher, she can't see. You know, if she's walking in front of a car or falling down, she just...
But she was teaching her how to use the walking stick, though.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how it works in the blind school, but it just seems a little bit dangerous. But then I guess she gets up and she finds her way back. Now we go back to that restaurant again. Mm-hmm. The restaurant where Emily, you know, had the issues in the bathroom.
Yes.
But now the dog is there. Well, actually, everybody's there.
Yeah. Lindy, the same server from earlier, is there.
Yeah, Lindy reconnects with her in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, I remember you and your fiber.
Yeah. And she sees, so she sees Matthew, and she's like, whoa, we got an upgrade on the man, too, huh?
Oh, there you go. Oh, good for her.
And then these two ladies start having a fight. And so one of them is the woman taking care of the dog,
Katie,
and this Katie, and then some other woman. I guess you could call her a Karen.
Yeah,
that's what we would call her in 2024. So she's got a dog, but the dog's not a dog, is a service dog and not a guide dog.
Oh, does the dog have a vest?
The dog has a vest, but it's not really a service dog. And it's obvious the dog isn't. So Katie calls her out on it, and they're just fighting. And the woman gets kicked out of the restaurant.
Like, get her out of here.
Service
her
dog.
Her fake service dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, yeah, she's, well, service dog, that's the same as a guide dog. No, it's not. And these two ladies about ready to tear each other apart. So that happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And then we go. All right. Matthew buys, what's her name?
She bought Katie lunch.
He buys Katie lunch.
Oh.
Don't know how necessary that was, but that's what he does.
Now
Emily buys a bunch of donuts and muffins and stuff.
Well, yeah, she goes on her own. She gets an Uber and stops at this cafe, gets out, buys muffins and stuff, and then gets in the wrong Uber and leaves the muffins there.
No, she just gets in someone's car. Was that even an Uber?
Kurt, were you appalled that she left the muffins and donuts?
I don't know. I just felt,
were you triggered?
Well, I felt bad for her.
I know how you like your sweets, and it's very important to you.
She lost her stuff. She'd have to go buy it again. I left it in someone's car.
Then what did the person say when she got in their car? Like, what? Who were you?
They said it all with their eyes because they were not getting paid union scale for the day.
I was in so I was in Fresno last weekend, and you remember Zan?
Yes.
So my ex Zan. So I was with her.
Zan Scott.
And so we saw a show. Well, actually, because I was hanging out with her, so we walked. We saw that a venue was like 0.2 miles, so we walked there. But then when the show was done, we watched a show at the theater festival. When the show was done, it was raining, pouring outside. So she's all mad. She's like, oh, no, we got to walk in this rain. So I tried to get us a ride. I talked to two people I know. I said, could you give us a ride? And like, no, we don't have room in the car. And then some random stranger woman said, I'll give you a ride.
And you got in the car?
Even worse than that, we start following her outside, and we were following the wrong woman. And this woman, like, we follow this woman to our car, and she's like, what am I supposed to take you people somewhere? What?
Wait, so you started to get in the car?
Yeah.
you did not remember what the woman looked like who offered you?
Well, it was Zan was like following the wrong, and it was so I kind of walked behind her, and she's like, what? But then the woman's like, am I supposed to take you somewhere? What? I was like, no, we have to go this way. She's back here. She's over there. Yeah.
Did the woman offer?
I think the woman would have taken us too, but even though she didn't know who we were.
And well, it's Fresno. They probably would.
She's just gotten in.
So we did end up riding with the other woman, the woman who actually offered us a ride. So.
That's okay. I love that. You just got some random woman.
Yeah.
You know, she's still probably talking about this. And these two strange people just tried to get into my car.
Or maybe she's painting it as, guys, I almost had a threesome tonight.
Right?
Well, no. No. Okay, so. Listen. We need to get back on track. anyway. So that's what happened with the show. So she left the donuts and the muffins in the car. Now, the woman is talking to the dog. That's all I got for that. Okay, so now it's Audrey Hepburn is in a movie with Fred Astaire, and Emily is experiencing the movie with Matthew, and Matthew starts to explain the whole movie.
Oh, so he's, okay. So he's like, she's wearing... a black dress and her hair is in a bun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like he starts doing a podcast for her. He's just describing mm-hmm. the movie. And then she says, what are you? She's like, why?
She's like, what is this Black China report you're doing?
It's such a Black China report.
Who the fuck is June Squibb?
June Squibb is a national treasure.
But right. Emily doesn't know.
Well, he's got to get that out of the way, and then he can start describing the movie.
Yeah. Right.
And then plugs at the end.
and do ads for OpenTable or Blue Apron or something.
Shocked me is he had a special guest. Jason DeBray actually walks in and starts to talk about that. So she said, like, what is your problem? Why are you here? And he's like, well... what does he say? He says, he says he loves her.
Yeah.
Well, he
drops the L word.
You're my friend and I love you. So now that was kind of sweet. And then,
not really clarified in the moment. How he means that.
Right. He might love her as a friend.
Right.
Cause he does kind of give the, what's the word? The precursor or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says he's worth a friend. And then, but he's set up a meeting for her to meet a dog.
Uh-huh.
So it's time to meet the dog. So next thing you know, they're at the dog place. And Emily trains with a dog. Oh, yeah. She walks around with a guide dog.
Named Cody. So
they're trying to, yeah, whole different dog.
Uh-huh.
And then she walks with another blind woman, and this woman, and they start kind of talking about their experiences. This other blind woman says, yeah, with my dog, I'm able to go to public restrooms, although half the time, you know, the dog sends me to the men's room.
Uh-huh.
The dog is gender neutral.
Yeah.
But the bathrooms are not, so she ends up in the men's room. And then when she goes in the men's room and the and are horrified. She says, I can't see anything anywhere.
Right. And they're like, okay.
I wouldn't be horrified, but whatever. So, she's the guy. She gives the dog back. Oh. What do I have here? Pictures of them.
Oh, yeah. So we cut to Katie and Mark again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Katie is having to give the dog that, like, the dog is ready to leave her house. And again, you don't see the kid anywhere, but Katie's giving the dog to Mark. And so Mark gives her a photo of Katie, the kid, and the dog. And then he has Garth put a paw print on the back of the photo.
Aww. Yeah, that's okay. Then, long waiting. What do I have here? I think this is where I got a little tired out from the movie. My notes. Long waiting. Oh, there's a long wait list.
Uh-huh.
For the guide. She may have to wait 2 years for this.
Yeah.
Right. Like another 2 years.
Yeah. And then you cut back to Mark and the dog and Garth. And Garth is super depressed now because Garth isn't with his family anymore. They haven't. And every time they try and match Garth with a family for guiding purposes, Garth isn't really responsive. It's not working out.
Uh-huh.
Right. So now they're home. Emily is with Matthew. Emily says she's not going to climb a wall. He has like a little toy wall he made out of Legos.
Uh-huh.
So if she could learn this toy wall, then she can actually climb one of the real walls.
It's basically a map of his wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a euphemism.
But Emily goes to work. She's working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she's back at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, she walks into work. Or does she
back, bitches?
I think she does, yeah.
She does, because she's got the stick with her.
I'm back, bitches. Get to work.
Well, now there's a scene. So Garth and the man, Mark, you know, he's the one who's been, like, takes care of the dogs. And he's just disappointed in how Garth the dog is doing. Garth is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's like, I don't know what to do with you. I can't give you back to your previous owner. I don't know what to do. But then he's like, because apparently, like, we skipped over this, but a little bit before this, he noticed that Garth responded very positively to Emily.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he does a little experiment. He's like, Emily? And then Garth, like, jumps up and is so happy. So it's like, all right, okay, this may be what I'm going to have to do. So, on a beautiful lawn, Mark arrives and Emily's there, and he brought Garth the dog, and so he does an experiment. He says, "All right, here's Garth. Say sit." She says, "Sit." And then they realize it's a match made in heaven.
Ah.
She can now have a dog. She doesn't have to wait 2 years.
Ah.
And then she climbs the wall. The rock club. She says, Matthew, did you mean it? Did you mean that you love me? And he says, nah. I was high on those sleeping pills. What are they called? Ambien. I was on Ambien.
Matthew does a lot of Ambien. This movie's a cautionary tale, really, about fiber and Ambien. It's
an Ambien. And she said, well, that's okay. And so then they're climbing up a real rock because that went well the first time. And she hears a goldfinch and they kiss.
Mm-hmm. And then one year later.
Yeah.
No, she does not regain her sight. That's it.
No.
She's learned to navigate her life.
The end.
The end.
Well, I feel guided.
Do you?
You were guided. You were guided through this.
Now, I wish there would have been, like, more talking dog action.
The talk, because again, it wasn't a talking dog. It was just the dog was the narrator of the movie. So nobody could understand what the dog was saying. And it was only the one dog that talked. The other animals in this movie, none of them talked. And it felt like this stuff with the dog and the trainer and Katie and the son, that was one movie. And then this stuff with Emily and all those other characters was another movie. And they found a way to sort of merge them into one.
Gotcha.
I thought it was okay. I think it's not. It's not the word. Well, I think in terms of it's a movie that could be used as a tool, I guess, for, you know, people to, I don't know how to put it, people to watch, people to experience.
Yeah. I thought the movie had its merits. It wasn't my favorite Hallmark movie, but I don't think it was bad either.
Okay, so it's like kind of a motivational sort of movie.
Yeah, and like I pretty much liked all the characters in this.
I learned
Connor, but you weren't supposed to like Connor anyway. But yeah, I liked all the actors. Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if so. This weekend is the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if on Lifetime we're gonna get like a really good movie, like just because you know how sometimes networks do things like the Puppy Bowl during Super Bowl. I wonder if Lifetime is going to have some kind of like, you know, Wrong or Psycho or Killer movie.
Maybe.
I don't think so. They're all of a sudden going to have like a really, you mean they're going to really, you know, have
for people
have
who might not want to watch the Oscars and watch.
Oh, they're not, no. They're not going to counter program a new programming. No. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to come up with something. You know, completely a different direction.
Right.
I don't know.
So are you excited about the Oscars?
I'm going to watch them. I'm indifferent this year, but I'll watch them.
I'm always interested in who wins. I'm more interested in who wins than the actual, you know, television presentation.
Are you going back on the shelf-shedding show after the Oscars?
Yeah, but not with an Oscar. Well, we've recorded all our Oscar episodes, and mm-hmm. they are available on the Shelf Shedding Movie podcast. So before you see the Oscars, you can listen to all our Oscar podcasts where we discuss everything.
Do you ever do Oscar pools, Kurt? Do you ever enter?
No.
You do, Jason, right?
Yeah, sometimes. It's. I feel like over the years, it's gotten easier to predict them.
Yes.
You just have to look at the different awards that it's gotten and see like where the voting bodies of those organizations are. For instance, like the DGA and the Best Director almost always line up. The actor races and the SAG Awards almost always act up or sync up.
I think Oppenheimer's going to win Best Picture.
Looks like it.
I think Divine Joy Randolph is going to win Best Supporting.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any upsets.
Would you guys like to go to the Oscars?
Yes, I would.
Given the chance, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would. I think it'd probably be a very long night. I mean, realistically, I would be
it's a long day
in the back. I'd probably upstairs in the back, unless I know somebody. Somebody hooks me up. Or if I'm, of course, the Oscar nominee. But you know, even if I am, they may put me in the back. But that's, I figure it's a long day. You got to get there. If you're one of those people,
like one or two.
Early.
Like one or two.
Think of the women, because the show starts at 4 this year in L.A.
Oh, so they probably
it's an hour like earlier this year. And we changed time this weekend. So the women are in the makeup chair at like 6 a.m. that day.
Thank God, the time changes here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is my favorite time of year. I'm so happy.
Well, I knew Margot Robbie. Oh, she's not nominated. Oh, she's nominated for
producer. Yeah, for Best Picture.
Margot Robbie. I made her laugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What movie was this?
It was a TV show. It was like she wasn't well known. It was Pan Am.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember. I liked that show, Pan Am.
I was talking to her somewhere. I remember on the plane talking to her. We kind of got along, and then I was laughing at something, and I had a very distinctive laugh, like a high pitched laugh, and she thought that was funny. She was laughing at that.
So she's like, "Oh, Kat, you're so funny."
No, she just thought my laugh was funny. So I might get in contact with her and see if she can hook me up with some.
Yeah.
Totally, but I don't want the jet lag though. Never mind. I don't want to do it.
I would love to go to the party. I would love to go to the governor's ball and the Vanity Fair party.
Well, the Elton John one is right down the street here.
And the Elton John one, which we always hear but never get to go to.
Oh,
they're setting up for it already.
It's going to be kind of sly. Is it going to rain this weekend?
I don't think so. It's raining today, but I think it's isolated.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Kirkendall, or you can find me in the documentary Breaking the Fourth Wall on Tubi, and it's currently running. Jason.
Please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us 5 stars. It helps more people find this show. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
Well, I already mentioned the shelf-shedding movie show. I'm on before you see the Oscars, check out, we discuss all the main Oscar nominees. And that's pretty much all I have to promote right now, I believe.
Is Jason normally correct on his picks for Oscar winners?
Well, we don't make predictions.
You mean Jason Dubray, not me, right?
Yeah.
Jason Dubray.
We don't make predictions. It's more like what kind of who we think should win.
Because I wanted to try to come up with some kind of cheat sheet for an Oscar pool. Jason Bowers and I might probably be in the same Oscar pool if there is one.
Maybe. I'll talk about that off the show, but yeah.
I would go with Oppenheimer, Divine Joy Randolph, Emma Stone, who else we got? Paul Giamatti. That's actor, actress, best supporting act, Robert Downey Jr., and best director, Christopher Nolan.
Who won actor at the SAG Awards?
I think it was Paul Giamatti.
It was Giamatti? Okay.
I think so.
One of my favorite movies this year.
It may have been Cillian Murphy. I think Paul Giamatti won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, I want to know SAG Awards, because that's a good predictor.
Yeah,
but Golden Globes are too.
The SAG Awards are a better predictor for the acting noms, because it's the acting awards at the Oscars are voted on almost largely by actors, not the other categories.
Okay.
So they usually line up really well.
Those are my predictions for all the main ones.
Well, I guess the next time you hear us, we'll have the answer.
Yeah, I'm correct with these. Six predictions. Okay.
Well, I guess, Kurt, you're like, out of all of us, I guess you're the expert.
Well, yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Anyway, well, I guess we'll chat about it next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.